Well, it's, you know, I'll share this with you. It's just, this is a little piece of humor that I'll really kind of roll into our message here, but this is titled A Bad Day. So with this in context, a worried housewife sprang to the telephone when it rang and listened with relief to the kindly voice in her ear. "How are you, darling?" it said. "What kind of a day are you having?" "Oh, mother," said the housewife, breaking into bitter tears, "I've had such a bad day. The baby won't eat, and the washing machine broke down. I haven't had a chance to go shopping. Besides, I've just sprained my ankle. And I have to hobble around. On top of that, the house is a mess, and I'm supposed to have two couples over for dinner tonight." The mother was shocked and was at once all sympathy. "Oh, darling," she said, "sit down, relax, and close your eyes. I'll be over in half an hour. I'll do your shopping, clean up the house, cook dinner for you. I'll feed the baby, and I'll call a repairman. I know who will be over to your house who fixes washing machines promptly. Now stop crying. I'll do everything. In fact, I'll even call George at the office and tell him you ought to come home and help out for once." "George," said the housewife. "Who's George? Is this 2231374? No, this is 3221374. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I have the wrong number. Does this mean you're not coming over?" Sometimes we think that's our conversation with God. We think somebody's gotten the wrong number. We think that the help is coming and then it's not there. But with God, it is there, always. When we read our passage today, it's from Romans chapter 5. Unlike this mother who had the wrong number and probably wasn't going to come over to help this lady, God is always there for our help. It's never a wrong number when He answers the phone, which is prayer. Let's turn chapter 5, verse 1. As we begin. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." You see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were all sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we will also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the peace, the joy, and the hope which we find herein. Lord, we thank You that it's true and that You have made it available for us to call upon in our time of need. And that You're there. And that You will respond. For in fact, You have already responded. Father, we thank You that we can study it and look at it and find what it is You would have for us to take home and apply to our hearts and minds and lives today. Lord, we pray that You'd send Your Holy Spirit to illuminate these truths to us, that we would have supernatural understanding of Your Scripture your word, your directions for how we are to live our life yet today. Lord, I pray that as I come and preach this morning, your anointing would be upon me, that your people would be blessed and encouraged. Lord, that I would speak your word in power and in truth, not shying away from speaking that which is even uncomfortable. But Lord, might I speak it in love so your people might indeed be encouraged. Now, Father, please I ask that you would speak through me this day. And that I would actually step aside and you would step forward. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A man by the name of Francis Fenelon said, "There is never any peace for those who resist God." There's never any peace for those who resist God. We see here in this passage that God has peace for us. That we receive justification through faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross. And that justification gives us peace with God. Because through justifying us, He covers over our sins, washes us clean, and restores us from a broken relationship to a new, whole relationship. Remember, through the law, we've broken our relationship with God because we've broken the law. If we break any one part of it, by thought, word, deed, by an action or an inaction, sins of omission or commission, doesn't matter, it's still broken. And that's our relationship with God. That stands there. But through our faith in Christ, we've been brought to God. When we believe on Him, on the work that Jesus has done, our broken relationship God is made new and whole. Now, many of us like to think that there's this, or maybe in the middle. You know, I'm not really against God. I might not be a foul or a firm believer. I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian. But I'm not against God. God tells us here in this passage today that we have two choices. We are either for Him or against Him. See, for God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And even farther down in verse 10 it says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more have we been reconciled, shall we be reconciled through His life, be saved through His life?" Now, God's enemy? See, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are God's enemy. Isn't that kind of harsh, Pastor? I'm not saying it. God's saying it. It's the truth of God's Word. You see, if we haven't accepted Christ as our Lord, remember, Lord is the one who has authority to guide and direct us in every aspect of our life and whose direction we are to be following, who literally owns us. He is our Lord and our Savior. That is, He has bought us. He has redeemed us. Now, who did He buy us from? From the enemy. If our previous Lord was the enemy, if that's who He bought us from, then that's who we were. We were members of the enemy's army. Whether we acknowledge it, believe it or not, doesn't change it. And that's where we were, past tense, before we accepted Christ. That's not who we are anymore. Because having accepted Christ, we now have peace. We've been reconciled, our relationship with God. We can now enter into the very throne room of God. Not just as members of the kingdom of God, but as members of His household. Adopted children. Children who are, He says, you're mine. And we can say, Abba, Father. That peace, that relationship that was at war is now one of love and family. As long as we're not resisting God, well, what's the opposite of resisting God? Working with God. As long as we are working with God, as long as we are following God, as long as we are seeking to do His will, we're at peace. That means we can be at peace in the midst of turmoil. When everything is going topsy-turvy, and we have the illustration of these missionaries in India who were assaulted, they can still have peace in the midst of this conflict because it's peace knowing that they're doing what it is God has called them to do and that God is with them because they are working with God. Now the enemy will resist that, and God has told us that that will occur. Take note of that, that because we accept and follow God doesn't mean that we are going to live a troubled, free existence. In fact, God has promised us the opposite. He's promised us that we will be persecuted and that we will have difficulties. But He has promised us that He would be there with us and give us peace. So even in the midst of that turmoil, in the midst of pain, we can have peace. Any of you ever experienced that peace in the midst of difficulty? Turmoil? Feel? You can't explain it other than say, it's God. Because He is. Because when we're not striving against God, when we're working with Him and for Him, we have peace. We have peace residing within us. It's a fruit of the Spirit, which through working with the Holy Spirit and cultivating it in our lives, we garner more peace. We have joy. With justification, we have that reconciliation, which gives us peace and also leads to joy. Because we have Christ within us. We have joy in our hope. We have joy in peace. We're to have joy in suffering, joy in reconciliation, joy in God's love. What is joy? Is it being happy? Not necessarily. It's satisfaction with where God has placed you at this time. That's joy. I'm satisfied with what God has done. Even as you may be striving to go someplace else, but at this moment, I have satisfaction. And the presence of God brings that. We have joy. Now this is an interesting phrase to have joy because sometimes we look at Christians and we kind of wonder if they have joy. I mean, Scripture tells us that we're supposed to have joy, but I've seen more Christians that look like they were baptized in vinegar than were baptized into the joy of the Lord. You know, lunch? Oh.
You cannot do that.
Get the finger going. Now, Lord love them. The Lord does. I have difficulty. But I'm trying. I really try when I find myself behaving like that. Because I'm not filled with the joy of the Lord. One of the things which I tell people is to, in the midst of their difficulties, they need to look up from the problem and look to the solution and look to see God's blessings around them. And we're to count it all joy. Dostoevsky, Russian author and theologian, and wrote many wonderful things. He wrote, "Man is fond of counting his troubles, but he does not count his joys. If he counted them as he ought to, he would see that every lot has enough happiness provided for it, too." Now, there was a man just this last week who was assaulted in the convenience store he operates and was shot. This was out in L.A., I believe. And he's praising the Lord for having been shot. Some of you may have heard this on the radio. You know why? Because when they took him to the emergency room to treat his gunshot wounds, they found that he had cancer. He had a tumor, which they were able to remove, I believe. But they found it much sooner than... He didn't know that this was there. But because he got shot, he went to the doctor and they found it. Now, you could be of two minds like this. You say, "Oh no, it's terrible, he's got cancer." You could say, "Praise the Lord, he found out earlier why they could treat it." Are we counting the joys? Are we counting the blessings? Here, we're told that we're supposed to be counting the joys. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory. But we rejoice in our sufferings. We're to be rejoicing because God is there. Why do we rejoice in suffering? Well, here we're given just a causal thing. Well, rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Last week we saw that Abraham, in hope, believed. But before that, it was against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. See, there didn't appear to be any reason for hope, but God's Word. See, God had promised, and Abraham believed. See, hope. What can be hoped for which is not believed? That was Augustine. See, we have hope in God. We have hope in God's glory. We have hope in God's demonstrated love. We have hope in God. The object of our hope is God. God's promise, God's word. When we believe what God has promised, we have hope. It's when we no longer believe that we lose hope. You talk to somebody who's hopeless, what do they believe in? Nothing. They don't believe. But as long as we have belief in what Christ has done on the cross, belief that God is there with us, belief that this is all temporary and what God has coming for us is so great, as long as we have this hope, you can stride through anything. I have the hope that one day my boys would move out of the house. And after 23 years, they're all gone. But it took a while. Of course, now they're gone. I'm going, oh, I kind of miss them a little bit. And I kind of got used to having them around. But there were some times where it looked pretty dismal. I wasn't sure they were leaving. But I believed that they would. While their life. Now, I use that as a joke, but why did I want them to leave? Because I knew it's best or better for them, because I've got hope for their lives. I'm so proud of my boys. But my boys who are men, and my little boys who are grown men in the army, you know, just kind of boggles my mind. But hope. I've got hope for them today. Why? Because I know that they've each one accepted Christ. I've got hope. What am I putting my hope in? In God. The object of our hope and our faith and belief needs to be worthy of it in order to deliver each and every time. And God does. We need to just be at peace, knowing that God is the one who's in control, knowing that we are reconciled to Him. We need to just be at peace. We need to live the joy of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit is present with us, that God loved us so much that He, while we were still identified as sinners, God came and died and rose again so that we could be reconciled and have that peace. And we need to live the joy of that in our lives. We need to look up and see the blessings that God has given us here and here and here. And here. And when we count the blessings, we find that they will indeed outnumber and outweigh the bad every time. And we need to follow our hope. Brett was saying, he feels driven, but he's not sure where he's driven to. You need to be driven towards the direction of the hope. Where is it that God is taking you? He's the hope. Where is it? He's leading. He's not leading each and every one of us in the exact same path. But He is ultimately leading us all to the same place. His presence in eternity. See, we have the hope. We have the joy and we have the peace. It's ought to be one happy place. Smile! We've got a lot to be joyful for. We have a lot to be at peace about. And we have, because we have hope. Because we have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit, that gift of God, who the Lord has given us. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the peace that You've given us, Lord, that You came and reconciled us to You so that we are no longer battling against You, but are now working with You. Lord, we thank You for the joy which You've given us, that You have provided blessing after blessing, or that we can be satisfied wherever we're at because you are there with us. We're not alone. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for the hope. The hope which gives us a direction and a guide for every step we take. And knowing that if we just persevere, that you will see us through. Because your word is true, and you are true. So, Lord, help us to believe that we might indeed enjoy and share with those around us the peace and joy and hope and love of you, of your Son Christ, our Lord and Savior, with everyone here, with ourselves, and with all whom we meet. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.